Welcome back to Sports Byline USA, coast to coast, border to border, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to welcome to the show accomplished veteran actor Tim Blake Nelson. He has a brand new movie called Asleep in My Palm, which is in theaters. It's on video on demand today, and it'll begin streaming a month from today. Tim, welcome to the show, and I had your son Henry on about a month ago, and it's actually very poignant because he directed this movie. It's his first feature. I found him to be a very affable, down-to-earth guy. What was that dynamic? I'm sure you get this asked this question a lot, but the dynamic of the director being your son.
Well, we've been preparing to do this for a long time. Henry has wanted to direct movies since he was about 12. And he'd been going to sets with me since he was about five or six. Actually, he was on the set of O Brother, Where Art Thou as a six-month-old. So he's really been on sets all his life. But when he was cognizant of what was going on, let's say around five or six, he just couldn't get enough of it and would often just stay with me for weeks upon weeks when I would shoot films and live, you know, sleep on a cot in my hotel room and do the full 12 to 14 hour day with me on set. And we've been watching movies together for well over a decade. We've probably watched hundreds of movies together. And so we just developed a vocabulary and a common aesthetic that cohered very nicely into the relationship between actor and writer-director.
I was asking him about your filmography, and he said there was one time you guys were watching TV and some movie, and you came in just for a cameo, and he was like, "Dad, is that you? You didn't tell me you were in this." And I just wonder for you, are you ever watching TV and you think to yourself, "I forgot I was in that"?
You know, no, not movies. But I did have the phenomenon last night of having a woman with whom I'm about to work in a film. We're the two leads of the movie. And I had her over for dinner and the director as well. And we, as far as I was concerned and as far as she was concerned, had never met. And then we learned that we were in A Midsummer Night's Dream together in Central Park about a dozen years ago, and we didn't remember having worked together. And that's the first time that has happened to me, and it was monumentally embarrassing for both of us. Now, it was Midsummer Night's Dream. I was playing one of the mechanicals, and she was playing one of the lovers. She was playing Hermia, I was playing Peter Quince. And so we had virtually no interaction during the production, and it was a big production in Central Park, but still, no excuse there.
Well, I mean, we're the same age, and I've been doing this some 30 years, and I go through that sometimes. Someone asked me one time if I have ever interviewed Steph Curry, and I was like, "No, I never got Steph Curry," and then my engineer said, "No, you interviewed him," and I was like, "I did?" And I'm like, "How do I forget Steph Curry?" So I'm with you when it comes to doing that. I also think, you know, your interesting background. You're an Ivy Leaguer. You were at Juilliard as well. What did you always have the acting bug, or would you think maybe you'd go in another direction?
When I went to college, I was I intended to be a classics major, and I ultimately was. So I studied Latin language and ancient civilizations, and a lot of Greek philosophy as well, and Roman history. And I stuck with that because I still wanted to get a broad-based education. But by my sophomore year, I started acting in plays because I'd done it in high school a bit, and I never looked back. But because of the classics major, because I'd spent so much time as an undergraduate poring over ancient texts, I felt like I needed graduate school just foundationally to be an actor. And I also was able to look in the mirror and figured that I was only going to get more work as I kind of grew into my face, which is a very, let's just say it's not the face of a leading man. And that, you know, as a character actor, I wasn't going to be wasting my 20s by going off and training in a serious program. So that's why I went to Juilliard.
Very interesting. I was also a history major as well in the 80s. How were you for the Stoics, like Marcus Aurelius and Seneca? Did you identify with Stoicism?
I do. I think the contrast between Seneca and Nero, because Seneca was in Nero's court and was an influence over Nero, if you can believe it, was a very odd one, and it certainly didn't rub off on Nero, if you believe the history. And I do love Stoicism, but I am more of an Epicurean. Mm. And Epicurus, as he meant his philosophy to be, not Epicurus as he's been misinterpreted. Because you hear Epicure, and people think, oh, that's just a life of excess and pleasure-seeking. But it really isn't that. It's as Juvenal summed it up, mens sana in corpore sano, a sound mind and a sound body. And that's taking care of the whole being so that when you're living life, its rewards can be most enjoyed. And that's a real departure from Stoicism. And I like the body of an Epicure and the spirit of an Epicure, in that if you like doing good works, if that makes you feel good about yourself, then indulging that tendency is right in the spirit of Epicureanism. And so the most generous, maybe even ascetic people who find great reward in giving to others rather than indulging on their own, that's a form of a spiritual Epicureanism. So that's the philosophy toward which I tend. What he meant, not the way it's been misinterpreted. That was a bit of a jumble. I hope it all made sense.
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, now we're getting into Greek philosophy here. Just we'll get back to the movie in a second. Epicurus was, if memory serves, we're going back to the 80s now. He was influenced by Plato, but a little bit by the Cynics. Am I right there?
Somewhat. I mean, he didn't write his ideas were passed on by a chronicler named Diogenes Laertius, and what are called the Sovereign Maxims. To a degree, I would say more Socrates than Plato,
mm-hmm.
And there is a difference, even though we only have Socrates because of Plato and Xenophon, and a bit of Aristophanes, too. But I think Epicurus is a thinker all his own. I guess that's the way I would put it.
Well, as your emeritus professor from Brown, I give you an A. Well done. I remember first seeing you. I loved Donnie Brasco, and I don't know why that movie doesn't get more love than it should. I love Donnie Brasco. And then I saw you in Thin Red Line, and I thought, oh, that's that guy. And I'm sure you get that throughout your career. You're like, oh, you're the guy. And then it's like not just one role. I mean, obviously, brother, we're out there on Buster Scruggs more recently. But like when you were going through maybe 20 years ago, how much did you get stopped? And then they wanted you to explain where they saw you, right?
Right. Yeah, that does even still happen a lot where people and the best story of that was that really gave me some good egg on my face. And it's a story I love because of that. is there's a woman who lives in our building in New York City named Lori Berkner, and she's this wonderful children's song writer. And I really mean she's wonderful, because I had made our house a children's music-free zone because I find so much of it execrable. But she was an exception. She and Dan Zanes of the Del Fuegos, they wrote really interesting children's music. And so we could play Lori Berkner, and the boys, our three boys, loved her stuff. And we moved into this building, and I realized, oh, my God, she lives in the building. Lori Berkner, she's such a wonderful songwriter. And I said to myself, I'm going to have to meet her. And so we're walking down the street in opposite directions, and we encounter one another, and she looks at me, and there's that dint of recognition, and I think, oh, yes, you know, she saw me, and maybe, oh, brother, where art thou, or the good girl, or Holes, and we're about to have that moment where we compliment one another, and as we approached, we stopped, and I was wondering who's going to speak first and acclaim the other, and she spoke first, and she said, didn't you work on my plumbing?
Great stuff. We're out of time. Everybody see Asleep in My Palm. It's a great story about a father and a daughter living off the grids outside of a college in Ohio, a college that was attended by Henry Nelson, who directed it, who is the son of our guest, Tim Blake Nelson. Tim, great discussion. I wish we had more time. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
All right. Good stuff. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break, and we will come on back right here on Sports Byline.